Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
We're in our series called Foundations. And in this series, we're talking about building your life from the bottom up. Because so often we focus on the exterior, we focus on how we look, we focus on what everybody thinks about us, we focus on everyone else's opinion. But how many of you know, if you want to build a building right, you make sure that the foundation is laid properly. Amen. Everything else is external. But if you can build the foundation right, there are beautiful buildings, and some of you have seen them, beautiful skyscrapers. Beautiful homes that have everything is just exquisite and it looks amazing. But if the foundation is not right, it is just a matter of time before that thing comes crumbling down. So it's important, it's paramount, it's so important that you build your foundation properly. And the foundations we're talking about are healthy habits in our lives and healthy godly belief systems. You have to believe right to live right. We said this a few weeks ago, and this is an old kind of theological statement, but it says, orthodoxy produces orthopraxy. Orthodoxy produces orthopraxy. What do I mean by that? Orthodoxy means right teaching. Orthopraxy means right living. So you have to be taught right, believe right, so that you can live right. Are y'all with me? So we're talking about building our foundations the right way. And so we began this series talking about the foundations of the church, the very beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2. Jesus died, rose again from the dead, commissioned his disciples, ascended to heaven, right? And then he sent them out. But he told them, before you do, go to Jerusalem and wait for the outpouring of my spirit. And when my spirit comes, you're going to have power to go and be my witnesses all over the world. So that's what they did. And the Spirit of God came, was poured out on them. And then Peter got up and preached to people from all over the world in Jerusalem at that time for the Passover, for Pentecost, excuse me. And as he's preaching, the church of Jesus Christ was birthed on that day. And as they heard this message, they responded a certain way. And the reason that that's so important, and that was the first message in our series, the reason why that's so important is because the way that they responded is the way that we should respond today. Because they laid a foundation in that moment for what the church was going to be and what the church was going to look like. And the Bible tells us right here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, this is how they responded. This is how they responded to hearing the gospel, the good news, the message of Jesus rescuing us from our sin for the first time. This is how they responded. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. So they hear good news, their lives are changed, they respond by building their life, by devoting to these things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing of meals and communion, and to prayer. These are foundational things in the life of a Christian, in the life of a believer. And so this is, today I want to talk about the foundation of the Word of God, the apostles' teaching. When the Bible talks about the apostles' teaching, the apostles were actually preaching the things that were going to one day become the scriptures. They were preaching, they were talking and using words to describe what God was going to use as the Bible as we know it today. So we're talking about the Word of God, the Bible today. Charles Spurgeon once said this. He said, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. And that is true. When we devote ourselves to our Bible, when we devour the Word of God, it reflects in the way that we live our lives. It shows. You can't be around someone who's devoted their life to the Word of God and not see a drastic change from the person that they are and the person that they used to be. That's why we need the Word of God. That's why it's such a powerful foundation in our lives. And so this morning I want to answer a few questions for you. A few very practical, simple questions that you may have this morning. One, Pastor, what is the Bible? What is the Bible? Why should I read the Bible? And then how do I read the Bible? Because the Bible is one of those things that it can be very intimidating. Some of us look at the Bible like, I'm not trained. I don't know how to read this. I'm not sure what I'm reading. It doesn't make sense. We're going to cover a lot of those things this morning because I want to help you build this foundation that God himself wants you to have. So let's begin with the first question. What is the Bible? Simply put, the Bible is the Word of God. Those 66 books are the Word of God. And I don't just mean that in a religious term. That is God's words to us. He spoke them. They were written down, put in 66 books and given to us. They are the Word of God. These are 66 books written over the course of over 1,500 years. And there were many different writers, but there was one author. And the author of this book is God himself. So it's important for you to know the Bible is not just, these are some suggestions, these are some like ancient philosophers who just kind of had some things that they might want to say. No, this is written from God for us. For us. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit more in a moment. But from Genesis to Revelation. Well, Pastor, what about some of those other books? Aren't there some other books that maybe are the same as God's word? There are plenty of other books that may help supplement God's word. But God's word and God's word stands alone as the ultimate source of truth. So don't confuse something that some guy wrote in 1935 for the Bible. Don't confuse some things that maybe some other religions have. Well, I'm going to take a little bit of God and I'm going to take a little bit of this religion and this religion. No, no, no. God's word is truth. The Bible is the ultimate authority. It's the ultimate authority. So let's move on to our next question. Pastor, why should I read the Bible? Why should I read it? Let me read something to you from the book of 2 Timothy. Because in the way that only the Bible could, the Bible answers questions about the Bible inside of the Bible. It's just that good. And so the Bible is telling us what it does for us. This is what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So in this text, we see some answers to that question. Why should I read the Bible? And I want to break this down for you. Why should I read it? Well, first, we read it because it reveals who God is. We read the Bible because it explains to us and reveals to us who God is. Now listen to me. This is massive. This is the God of the universe. This is the same God who spoke the earth into existence. This is the same God. He has no end. The Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega. That means he's at the beginning. Well, how old is God? God's older than time. God is not in time. Time is in God. That's how big God is. He's the Omega. He's already at the end. He's already told us what's coming in the end. And let me just tell you, for those of you who are worrying, in the end, if you're a Christian, you win. You win. So the Bible tells us about this great, big, vast God. The Bible reveals to us who God actually is. And that scripture I just read begins with this. All scripture is inspired by God. It's his will. Now let me stop for a moment. His will. When I say his will, I don't want you to just think about this in church terms, because sometimes we hear these words and they just become religious jargon and we miss the meaning of them. Think about this. If you had a will, you were getting ready to die and you wrote out your will. Your will is what you want to see happen with everything that you own. Right? Thank you. That's your will. So your will is accomplishing what you want to see happen. God's will is in the Bible. What he wants to see happen is in the Word of God. He's already put it right there. That's his will. It's also his promises. So within the Bible, you can find the things that God wants you to have that you may not even see that you have. There are times when God wants to give us his peace, the comfort of knowing that he is with us. And we're struggling and wrestling, going, I don't have peace. This is confusing. I have all of these issues going on in my life. And God's saying, if you will grab a hold to my promises, you'll have that peace. I need this. And God's going, I've already promised it to you. Grab a hold to what I've given you. See, the Bible reveals who God is. And if you want to know God, go to the love letter that he wrote to you and find out who he is. Because he writes to us who we are. And not only does he write to us about who he is, again, as I just said, he writes to us about who we are. Now, let me just tell you, men, one thing that I'm pretty confident to say about every man in this room is you don't like reading instructions. That's pretty sure. I told our last service, I would much rather watch a 10-minute YouTube video than read a 5-minute instruction manual. I will watch that video with a good heart rather than read that instruction manual. But yet there's something about these instruction manuals that are important, because the people who wrote these are the people who created whatever that thing is. If you want to find out who you are, find out from the person who created you who you are. See, we let culture tell us, this is who I am, and this thought pattern came to my mind, and this is what was said, and this is what society says. Listen, society changes all the time. God's word stays the same. It never changes. It never changes. If you want to know who you are, if you're wrestling with my identity, who am I, what, go to what God said about you, because that's his original intention of who you are and who you should be. The Bible reveals to us who God is, and it reveals to us who we are. Pastor, what is God like? It's in the Bible. What makes him upset? It's in the Bible. Does God get upset? You better believe God gets upset. Well, my God is loving. The Bible that I read says there's an angry God as well. There are times when God gets upset. What makes him upset? It's in the Bible. The Bible that I read tells me when he's loving and he's compassionate. Sometimes we're beating ourselves up when God's up there going, just come to me. I want to love on you. I want to forgive you. I want to give you grace. I want to give you mercy. How does God feel about me? It's in the Bible. Where is God right now? It's in the Bible. All of these things can be answered by the Bible. Let's keep going. Why else should I read it? Read it because it reveals what is truth. It reveals what is truth. That Bible verse I just read in 2 Timothy says, it's useful to teach us what is right and to make us realize what is wrong in our own lives. See, again, we live in a relativistic culture. There's actually a philosophy called relativism, that this is simply put, this is what this means. What I believe for me is right, is right. You can believe what's right for you. So what's right for you is right for you. What's right for me is right for me. One of my old pastors used to joke about this all the time. We teach our kids this whole thought process of relativism. And what's right for you is what's wrong for you and blah, 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 whatever, all of this stuff. And then we teach them that you came from animals. And then we correct them when they act like animals. So this whole thing is jacked up. And as long as we live with that type of mindset, that everything is relative, then the world will continue to go haywire, because there's no ultimate sense of what's right, what's wrong. This is the authority. The Bible is that. The Bible is the ultimate placement of truth. This is the ultimate source, of truth. And we have to have that, because it reveals to us what's right. Even in our own lives, forget culture and society and all of that. Think about your own life. When you're trying to figure out, man, am I living right? Am I doing this right? Is this the way I'm supposed to live? Compare your life to what the text of Scripture says, what the Bible says. D.L. Moody, great preacher, once said this. He said, the best way to show that a stick is crooked is not to argue about it or to spend time denouncing it, but to lay a straight stick alongside it. How do I know if I'm living right? Am I living according to the Bible? How am I know if I'm being a good husband? Am I reflecting the way the Bible says I'm supposed to be a husband? Am I reflecting the way the Bible says I'm supposed to be a parent or a wife or whatever it is, or an employee or employer? See, the Bible has something to say about all of those things, because Jesus is not just Lord of your Sundays. He wants to be Lord of your life. Think about it like this. And listen, I believe in science. I believe in scientists, and I joked about this earlier, but our worship leader is a scientist. The girl literally graduated with her degree in neurobiology. Who does that? So I believe in science and the movement of science and how it's helping our society. I believe in all of that. But I also know this, that science is not the Bible. Science is not the Word of God. They are not the same thing. See, hundreds of years ago, science told us that the earth was flat, until we discovered that it's not. Now, I know some of y'all are watching weird YouTube videos and you still think that the world is flat, but that's whatever. But science was wrong. They didn't caught up. Science also used to tell us that once your brain was set a certain way, it was going to stay that way, and you could not change it. Once your brain had developed what it calls neural pathways, once it developed there, it was going to stay that way, and your mind could not change until about 1985, when they discovered a thing called neuroplasticity, which means that your mind can renew itself. Here's the problem. The Bible's been saying that for 2,000 years. So culture will change. Ideas will change. Science will change. God's word never changes. That's where we go to for truth. That's where we find the ultimate truth. It's the Bible. And again, culture will tell us, believe this, believe that. Isn't it interesting that 100 years ago, certain things were wrong, and today they're no longer wrong? And 100 years from now, certain things are wrong. Now, that won't be wrong 100 years from now. Because culture is ever changing. God's word doesn't. And I was having an interesting conversation with my staff and with Pastor Jeremy in between services. Culture is looking at what's right and wrong. The Bible says this is what's true and this is what's not true. Truth and lie. God's word defines for us what is truth. It gives us the proper parameters of this is true. Don't let culture determine that for you. Because I guarantee you, some of you believe things differently now than you did 10 years ago. All based upon your social media. Let God be the ultimate source of truth. Are y'all with me this morning? The Bible says this. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." His word is eternal, and it stays the same. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I agree with the Bible. Let me help you. We should always presuppose that the Bible is right and we're wrong. I'm going to say that again. We should always presuppose that if you're going into a conflict with the Bible, it's not because the Bible's wrong. It's because we are. The next thing, why should I keep reading the Bible? Read it because it shows you how to live. Simply put, the Bible shows you how to live your life. That same text in 2 Timothy says this, it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. The Bible teaches us God's intention for our life, God's original intention for our life. The Bible is meant to be something more than a 30-minute message that you hear once a weekend. The Bible is meant to be applied to more things than just that one podcast pastor that I listen to from that pastor I like. I listen to him maybe once a month. Again, God's word wants to be applied to every area of your life because Jesus is the Lord of every area of your life. And the way he becomes Lord of your life is when you start to let his word penetrate into all of those areas. You can't do his will if you don't know what his will is. So God's word shows us how to live. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as a reminder. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The word of God needs to be all over. Any way that you can get it in your mind, any area of your life you can apply it to, you need to apply it to. This is what God says. This is his word. He wants it to be a part of our life, which leads me to my next point. Read it because it makes you wise. Read it because it makes you wise. The same text in 2 Timothy says it gives us direction and correction. How many of you have ever been reading the Bible and opened it up and you start looking at it and all of a sudden you realize, ouch, that didn't feel good. I'm not doing that. Start blaming me. Why didn't Pastor Gabe tell me this? The Bible is there to instruct us. It makes us wise. It gives us wisdom that we did not have. The Bible also says this in Psalms chapter 19, verse 7. It says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy. Listen, don't miss this. Making wise the simple. The Bible has a way of taking simple people and making them wise. Some of y'all know that's good news for everybody. That's good. My grandma used to call me simple-minded all the time when I was a kid. I'm still in counseling for that. The Bible makes even the simple wise. One thing I know, I may not be the smartest person in the room. I'm okay with that. I may not be the wisest person in the room. I'm okay with that. But when I step into a room, I know this. I carry the word of the Lord with me. I carry God's word with me, which trumps everything else. As a matter of fact, I had a meeting in my office this week with a government official who came in and doesn't attend our church, not even from our church, but a leader in one of our communities. And he came and he sat down with me and he just said, Pastor, what do I do? I'm dealing with this situation and this situation and this situation, and I just need wisdom. I didn't give him, well, this is what I think and what I learned in school and what I was taught in the government. I said, this is what the word of God says. See, my wisdom is not going to come from me. My wisdom is going to come from what makes us wise. I said, this is what the Bible says. And he walked away saying, that's exactly what I needed. That's what I need to do. That's not because I'm that good. That's because God put it all out there for us. This is how you live. So if you will apply the word of God to your life, he'll give you wisdom you didn't have. Listen, there were lots of things I didn't get growing up as a young man, either from family or not having a dad there or not in school. Certain things I just didn't get that I've gotten over the years from that book. That book has taught me how to live. That book corrects me when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Why? Because it's meant to give us wisdom. Are y'all with me? Y'all getting this? So utilize that. Let the word of God make you wise. Let it sharpen you. Let it cut on you. There are going to be some moments when you read the Bible and you just cry because it's so encouraging. And there'll be other moments when you read it and you go, God, I realize that my life is not reflecting this. So I need to make some changes so that it does. Because again, the Bible's always going to be right. The next one. Read it because it is your weapon. Listen, please look up here. I'm asking you as your pastor, do not miss this. Do not let this be a message that you walk away and you go, good job, Pastor, that was good. I enjoyed it. That was a good talk. This is not a TED talk. This is the proclamation of God's word. And what I'm talking about is there to help you build a strong foundation in your life. Because if you can build your life on God's word, you're building your life on a strong foundation. So when the storms come, you'll stand. When the issues happen in culture, you'll stand. When there's confusion swirling around you and everybody's believing this and that and who's right and I'm not sure and this media and this social media, you have something strong to build your life on. That's why this is so important. So please apply what I'm saying to your life. Please hear it that way. But read it because it is a weapon against sin and against the devil. This is your weapon. We sing that song, "This is how I fight my battle." This is how we fight our battle. We fight it with the word of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not earthly weapons. They are spiritual weapons, and the Bible is one of them. Jesus, this happened to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. He's fighting the devil. He hadn't eaten in 40 days. He's fasting. He's tempted. Some of y'all were fasting this week and just, you thought it was the devil. It was really just your spouse. You've been mad at everybody. But temptation comes to all of us. And this is Jesus after 40 days of fasting, and the devil comes to him. This is what the Bible says. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, don't miss this. The scriptures say." See, his weapon against the devil was not, "I think this." It was not my willpower. It was not, "I'm so strong." It was not even, "This is my identity." It was, "This is what the scriptures say. People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." We don't fight temptation with our willpower. Some of you have tried that, and that's why you've fallen. Some of you keep trying to fight your temptations by just going, "I'm going to do better this year. I'm going to do it right this year." And you keep falling because you are not fighting a natural enemy. You're fighting a supernatural enemy. And because you're fighting a supernatural enemy, you need supernatural weapons. And the Bible is that weapon. See, when you're tempted to get angry, you're tempted to fight and go off, and you see something wrong and you want to step in and start throwing fists at people like you used to, but you remember the word of God. The word of God will come up out of your heart and say, "The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God." Or when you're tempted to do something that you know you shouldn't do, and you hear that Bible verse come back to you, you are no longer a slave to righteousness. I mean, to sin. You are now a slave to righteousness. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Those things come out of you. God's word. What is that? That's your weapon. That's your weapon. The Holy Spirit will check you. Some of you get into situations where you know there's some compromise starting to happen. The Holy Spirit brings it to your attention, and all of a sudden you start hearing the word of God go off in your mind. Use that. What he's saying is, this is a fight. This is how you fight it. That's a trap. Here's your compass and your roadmap to get around that. That's why we need God's word. Are y'all with me? So, Pastor, how do I read it? I won't be very long on these points, but how do I read it? This is so important. You may have never heard this before. Read it in context. That's so important. Read it in context. Don't take isolated scriptures and act like those scriptures stand alone by themselves. See, I grew up in church culture as well, where we would just put, you have those refrigerator scriptures. This is what I mean by that. It's a scripture you don't know what's happening, what's going on, what was said before it or after it, but man, that sounds good. So I like that. We quote these scriptures, like, I love this one. This is a great scripture in Jeremiah 29:11, right? Or 21, I can't remember, whatever it is. So 29:11, and it says, "I know the plans I have for you to bless you, to prosper you, give you a future and a hope," right? We love that scripture. Here's the problem. He was telling that to people who were just captured by Babylon going into captivity. And he was saying, "I'm not letting you out of this captivity, but I'm going to bless you even in my punishment." Context. We have to understand why it was said and who. That's why when we do series like Titus, right, we did that first message, we were really unpacking who said it and why were they saying it. Why? Because it's so important for you to understand that. So you can come into my house and hear me having a conversation with my wife, and hear me say something like, I'm not going to pay rent, and walk away from that and judge me and go, man, the pastor's not paying his bills. Is the church okay? And miss the context if you only heard a snippet of that conversation. What if I was saying, I'm not paying rent because I've already paid it this month? The difference between those two things, context. Context. So when you read the Bible, simply put, don't just take isolated scriptures. Read the whole chapter. Sit down, take your time, and read the chapter so you can know what these scriptures that we hold on to, what they're really meant. The Bible, this is so important. The Bible was not written to you. And for some of y'all, that's mind-blowing. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing the Bible, did not go, I'm writing this because I know T-Boy from Coda Homes is going to be in the Broussard campus in 2021, and he needs to hear this. The Bible was not written to you, but it was written for you. It had an original audience that it was written to. And we glean from what was said, but if we just grab a hold of, we play Bible roulette. How many have ever played Bible roulette? We just, God, what are you saying to me today? Judas hung himself. Wait, ho, whoa. Context is important. Read the whole chapter. If you dedicate yourself to a book in the Bible, say, I'm going to read the book of Titus. I'm going to read the book of Acts and get the whole context of what was said. The next thing is this. How do I read the Bible? Read it in faith. Read it in faith. Believe that God is going to actually speak to you. And to do that, we have to get rid of the lie that the devil has told us that the Bible is too hard for you to understand. I'm here to tell you, as your pastor, that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie from the pit of hell to keep you intimidated and keep you away from reading this thing that can change your life forever. There are difficult parts of the Bible. Don't get me wrong. There are things that people are still debating about for thousands of years if this is what this meant. But that does not take away from the fact that the large majority of the Bible, if your heart is open and you want to hear from God, you can understand it. Sometimes we don't want to understand it. Sometimes it says, do this, don't do that. And we're like, I'm not sure. What does that really mean in the original Greek? I'm not sure. I think it means what it says. Stop doing that. Don't lie. What does that mean in Hebrew? It means don't lie. Believe God's going to speak to you through it. Remember back in the day when you were in junior high school, like for those of you who are older like me, 40 and above, when we actually used to like write notes to people in school. How many of y'all remember that? Now kids can just send it in their phone. They don't even have to put forth the effort of writing it down. We used to have to write down, do you like me? Check yes, no, or maybe. Some of y'all, that's where you learn how to pray. God, please don't let her write no. I'm okay with maybe. I'm okay with maybe, Lord. But imagine having that girl for, you know, for you ladies, for that guy that you really, really like, and you wrote that letter, and they wrote you this big, beautiful, long letter back expressing their love for you. And you get that letter, and you read it, and you think, and you tell them even, I'm not sure what that means. What does that mean? It would defeat the purpose of the love letter. Some of us need to stop using the excuse that we don't understand what the Bible means and devote ourselves to it so that we can learn what it means. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the Word of God. So as I end, I want to give you a few tips, very practical tips on reading the Bible and getting the most out of it. I've been a Christian since 1996. I used to sit in my room as a teenager, just fresh born again, and my mom would make fun of me because she called my room the sanctuary. Because I would lock the door and I'd sit in my bed and I would just devour the Bible, devour the Word of God. God was building foundations in my life all the way back then. I want to share with you, this is just some simple things that you can do. The first tip is this: find a version that you understand. And I know that I say this often, find a version that you understand. Some of us are so tied up to, well, Pastor, this is the right translation of the Bible. I read this version because this is what my mama taught me how to read. If you don't understand it, it's not doing you any good. Find a translation that you understand. Pastor, what's the best translation of the Bible? The one that you understand and read. That's the best translation of the Bible. The one that you can commit to and let God speak to you through. That's the one. And I go to the YouVersion app on my iPad or on my phone. It's just literally YOU version. You can go, you can download that app on your phone. You can read it on your computer, whatever. I also encourage you, have a physical Bible, like you can turn the pages and hear it. Have one of those. If nothing else, is something you can hand off to your kids one day. Let your kids be able to see where the things God spoke to you as you highlighted that Bible. But you can go to YouVersion and download. They literally have hundreds and hundreds of different translations that you can read. I encourage you to do that. They have different Bible reading plans. Do that. And throughout those, again, find the one that God speaks to you. Personally, I like to read the NLT, the New Living Translation. That's my favorite one. That is my favorite translation because the language is so practical. Some people like the Message version. Some people like the NIV. Some people like the ESV. Whatever it is, you may like King James version. If you do, if you like that language, more power to you. Just make sure you understand it. Don't come to me and quote the King James version and tell me that these and the thou's and you don't even know what it means. And all of your getting, the Bible says, get understanding. Get understanding. The next thing is read it consistently. Read it consistently. Give yourself to it. See, sometimes we treat the Bible like we treat the gym. Yeah, I'm going there. We get to the beginning of the year and we go, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be devoted to this. And come February, you don't even know where your Bible is anymore. Oh, Pastor, I didn't understand. That's because you gave it 2 weeks and you quit on it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Devote yourself to the word. Even in those days when you go, I'm not quite sure what I read, come back to it. The next day, keep reading it. Keep reading it. For some of you, you may need to set an alarm on your phone. Set a calendar. I tell husbands this. Put your date night with your wife in your calendar. Because if you don't schedule it, it won't happen. Schedule your time with God if you need to. God's not up there going, I need you to, like, just needs to be more organic. God just wants you to show up. Just show up and keep showing up. Next, memorize it. This is so important. Memorize it. Listen, after you've read the chapter, after you've understood the context, get those promises and feed your soul with those things. Memorize God's word. We used to do this back in the day. We would take these index cards and we would write scriptures on them. Scriptures that we wanted to memorize. How many of y'all remember that back in the day? And we would put those things in our car, in our houses. I know people in our church, they write them on their mirrors with lipstick. They put these index cards on their mirror. Why? That's what the Bible was talking about in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let the word of God surround you so you can feed your soul, your spirit with it. Memorize the word. Get it in you. And this is what David said in the book of Psalms. He said, God, I've hidden your word in my heart so that it might not sin against you. See, when pressure comes, when life comes, what's in you comes out. If there's a bunch of anger and complacency, that's going to come out when life squeezes you. But if you're full of the word of God, when you get squeezed, that's what comes out of you. Memorize it. Put it in your heart. Hide it in your heart. And then lastly, do it together. Do it together. What do I mean by that? If you're a family, Get in the word together. Encourage each other with the word of God. Tell your wife what God is doing in your life. Tell her what God has been speaking to you in the Bible. Tell your husband what God's been speaking to you in the Bible. Some of you may even want to sit down and read it together. That's okay too. You may want to do a family devotional. That's a great thing to do. But find other people in our church as well that can sharpen you. When you go to them, like, I'm reading this and I'm learning this, and they can cheer you on and go, man, I needed to hear that. Thank you for sharing what God has told you. Or they can be there to one that go, that's not really what that means. There are plenty of times, listen, I text Dr. Scott Adams, brilliant theologian, knows the Bible inside and out. There are plenty of times where I would text him and I'm like, I think this means this. Can you help me? Stop me before I start becoming weird. What does this really mean? Do it with one another so you can sharpen one another. And tell them, if you're saying, Pastor, I mean, you're saying, excuse me, I'm going to commit my life to reading the Bible throughout this year. I'm going to read the whole Bible. I'm going to read the New Testament, or I'm going to read a chapter a day. Whatever that commitment is, share that with someone so they can help keep you accountable. So they can help keep you accountable. Do it together.